Well, we know that many, many young people are still getting into alcohol far earlier than the age of 18. And there is a potential that advertising is very much influencing those decisions. Now, we know it is illegal for alcohol companies to market their advertising to youngsters, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're not finding out all and what it is about. So to talk to us about some of those issues this morning, from Deakin University, Professor of Psychology, it's Professor Peter Miller. Good morning, Peter. I guess with advertising, it can be a bit tricky, but there are some laws at the moment. What are the flaws in how the code is managed?
Good morning, Mark. So there's not really any laws. I mean, this is the key thing. We've effectively let the kids in charge of the playground. The industry is self-regulatory. And if you imagine that being the case with tobacco as it was 50 years ago, you get companies that are driven by profit, and that's their only bottom line, in control of all the regulations. So there's no laws, there's no penalties when they break these guidelines. There's absolutely nothing like that. Our governments have just handed the keys to the asylum to the alcohol industry, and they continue to allow it to just go rampant. And we know how effective these guys are at marketing their products. Got to remember, 20% of drinkers account for 75% of their sales. So the alcohol industry is based on addiction. They're trying to create addicts early and get people drinking more often. Most of us think, oh, but I drink and I don't have a problem. But you're not their target audience. It's about creating addiction. And for most of this is about sponsorship. It's about normalising alcohol consumption so that the people who are drinking and drinking too much don't feel out of place. But we have it all turned around in our society. And in fact, it's the people who don't want to drink a lot or who don't drink too much that feel out of place. Well, don't drink at all for that matter.
Peter, you mentioned earlier about the tobacco industry and going back many decades where it was kind of self-regulatory, and those who were around at the time remember that doctors were encouraging people to smoke to combat stress and all those sorts of things. Do you think we're as bad as that at the moment with alcohol being self-regulating, or is there certainly a lot of ways we can tighten it up a bit?
Well, on some levels, the discussion is more complex because alcohol doesn't kill three out of four people who use it, and the product won't necessarily kill you if used as designed in the same way as tobacco does. So it's a slightly different thing. But on the other hand, we still have many, many professionals, health professionals, you know, medical doctors and people like that who work for the alcohol industry, who do research and put out a whole lot of information that muddies the water. So there are huge research funds around the world managed by the alcohol industry that create this muddy water effect, whereby some people will tell you that alcohol is good for you, some people will tell you bad for you, and it becomes really confusing. Again, the key thing is what we've got now is a situation where we're not protecting our children, we're not ensuring that they have all of the information, and that's primarily because it's the alcohol industry who controls the information going out, even to the point of the labels on bottles. You know, we're supposed to have, there's some sort of ideal that information on the back of the bottle would be health warnings. So the people we surveyed believe that it's actually controlled by the government. But in fact, it's not. Compared to other countries around the world, even places like America actually have proper health warnings.
So, Peter, for those countries that do have tighter regulation, and I guess, if nothing else, at least those warnings, are we seeing a downturn in alcohol consumption, particularly amongst younger people, or is it not making much of a difference at all? What's the research telling us there?
Unfortunately, like everything, there's many different factors that go into determining trends, and alcohol sponsorship or advertising is only one part of many, many different things. So if you see huge economic change, you get a change in alcohol consumption, as you can imagine. So the trends aren't quite that simple, and the research is really hard to do, because imagine finding a country that doesn't have alcohol advertising and then somehow being able to test what happens when you put it in place. So it's really hard to say that. The point is that people are more aware of the harmful effects of alcohol in those places. And in the end, we've got to achieve just better outcomes here. It doesn't really matter how we compare to other countries. What we've really got to say is that good enough for Australia? I think most of us feel that it's not good enough to have the alcohol industry controlling their own guidelines and not being held to account. There's no monitoring. The government doesn't monitor what's happening in this space. There's no way of making alcohol advertisers accountable. We see this particularly now on the internet and the way in which it's been marketed through Facebook and Google. These are global entities which we just don't have any sort of control over at all, and we have no sort of way in which we penalise people who do the wrong thing when they put forward inappropriate messages.
And I guess, Peter, when you're talking about about things that are happening in the online space. That opens up a completely different and lengthy discussion, as we know too well. Thank you for your time and sharing that this morning, Peter.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Professor Peter Miller from Deakin University, the Professor of Psychology, talking with us about the tricky world of alcohol advertising right here at 2NURFM 103.7.